From scratch.
Welcome to this week's From Scratch. I'm Martin Cousins and...
My name is Nigel Payne.
Hi Nigel, how are you doing?
I'm all right, thank you very much Martin.
Good. Now, I hear you're writing a new book and this time it's on leadership. So could you tell us what's new in leadership? What are you finding out as you work through this new book of yours?
Yeah, I'd love to. It's in my head, very, very close to the front of my consciousness at the moment as I'm writing two chapters. And I'm about nearly halfway through. So I've got a bit of data. I'm doing it in the same way that I did the other book, which is combining desk research with interviews and case studies. And I suppose there are four or five things that really jump out at me and to share with you. The first one is that the CRM report last year, which said that leadership, the more we invest in leadership, and it's a $50 billion a year industry, it's an absolutely massive industry, the more we invest in leadership, the less satisfied we are with the outcomes. That seems to be reinforced, you know, in I suppose globally by reports like the CRM report and by their research, but also by my conversations with organizations and companies, that the way we do it, the way we bring people together, we put them in a certain environment, we do things to them and with them, and then we send them back into the workplace. That kind of model, that almost like the leadership inoculation model, if I can say that, doesn't seem to develop the antibodies. It doesn't seem to last very long. And most people I've talked to would say that within 3 to 6 months, all traces of the hugely expensive program that they put people through seem to have disappeared entirely. So you either keep running it every few months, which would be extortionately expensive, both in terms of resources and in terms of time off the job, or you think it through differently. And what I'm focusing on is the way people are thinking things through differently. And for sure, the new buzzword is the blended learning approach. That's an old buzzword, but it's new in leadership. And there's some research by someone called Pepe Arricchio from IESE, the business school in Barcelona. His doctoral thesis was on this. And he's saying that he can't see leadership ever going entirely online. There's just all sorts of reasons why that's not going to happen. But he can't see organizations relying on face-to-face programs delivered by business schools, amongst others, as the only solution to leadership. So it's all getting muddled up. And increasingly, back to conversations that we've had before, back to providing resources that are on demand, but also really trying hard to change behavior, both in terms of a sort of quick, sharp shock to shake people out of existing behavior, existing assumptions about the world and about leadership and about their company, changing those existing assumptions, but then focusing on repetition and habit developing so that you get genuine behavior change within 3, 6, and enduring change over 9 a year. And that, of course, does not involve L&D plus participant. It involves the whole organization. So more and more organizations are looking at culture. They're looking at the bigger picture, and they're involving the line manager. And I suppose if there's one big lesson that comes out of this whole book, is leadership, no line manager involvement equals disaster. You really need to get engagement through the organization, or it's kind of not worth trying. Now, if you get line managers, I'm too busy, it's too hard, guaranteed they will destroy the impacts of your program within days, not weeks. So there's some very interesting new models and approaches that people are trying, from high cost to very low cost. And there's also a big do-it-yourself movement as well, saying that in some ways, the best leaders fix their own problems, yeah, and they do it with access to colleagues, with access to resources, and with access to some bites of learning, but not necessarily big courses. And that continuous learning, that continuous churn of insight, is the way we go in an uncertain world, and that the existing programs don't work. You know, I was talking to someone in Australia about a management program that's going to last 2 years. Now, it doesn't mean that every week they have to do 15 hours, but what it does mean is that they won't see the program as having done its job without a two-year contact being maintained. 2 years of looking at progress, problem solving, dealing with challenges, working in action learning sets, having the line manager involved. So that's the kind of new reality, not 2 weeks, but 2 years. But 2 years in a very different way to the way that conventional programs are organized.
Are there sort of approaches? You hear lots of different approaches if you look into leadership, don't you, as authentic leadership is in vogue at one point. Are there those kind of things that you're picking up? Are there something yes. new in that? You know, yes. what's the yes. hot one right now?
Well, the hot one is the movement from leader as hero, as leader as someone to rally behind, to leader as servant. The leader saying, what do you need to do your job? How can I help you do your job more effectively? Running right through the organization, from the CEO through down to the if you like, the shop floor or the people manning the telephones. So there's definitely a feeling that to help people, it's about enablement and facilitation and helping people deal with the issues that they're confronting and empowering them to solve problems on a continuous basis and not refer upwards through a hierarchy or, you know, look for some knight on a charger, shining charger, to answer all the problems and deal with all the issues. It's too complicated, moves too fast for all of that. So I would say that's a general trend.
There's endless books written about what makes a great leader, whether it's in sports, mountaineering, whatever it is, you know.
Yeah, 40,000 books. 40,000 books.
40,000 leadership books, or currently available to the discerning eye.
Yeah.
Crikey. See, that's
amazing.
So there's all of that. It's a $50 billion industry. Does this mean that at last, if it's, you know, leader as servant makes, you know, perfect sense to me? Well, could this be the end of, you know, 40,000 books? And might we have less books now?
Yeah.
Now that we've realised that we're all human, and in actual fact, if you want to get from A to B, we all probably need to have some leadership, and we all do have some leadership attributes are actually quite useful to organisations. We don't have to make it so complex and build such an industry, which, as you said at the beginning, seems to, the more we spend on it, the worse the outcomes and less satisfied we are.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. In some ways, that leader as servant is a reflection on the environment that we're now living in. And is that environment going to change anytime soon? I don't think so. So I would never say never say never, but for the time being, that is the model that works. And what I'm trying to do in my book is not be the 40,001 Payne's view of the world, or my 10 tips for great leadership, or that kind of thing. What I'm trying to do is say and show that certain things work better than others, and therefore, if you want to engineer leadership development that is going to be successful, these are the ways forward. And as far as I know, no one's actually done that. There are a lot of case studies, but they're all hidden, mostly in academic journals that no one reads. So I want to bring out some of the ways in which anybody can develop leadership, and you don't need big budgets or necessarily need a business schools or anyone else. You can do it on small budgets, but with the kind of approach that I'm discussing. Because even though it's a $50 billion industry, there are still probably half the leaders in any given country have had no development whatsoever. Mm. And that's the biggest shocking tragedy of all. You know, even if the leadership isn't very good, at least some of it, residual amounts, must stick. Whereas if you have absolutely nothing, you're just working in your prejudices, in old assumptions, in things that your father taught you or whatever it might be. You know, we do need more, but we need it more effectively, faster, more efficiently, cheaper. That's the enduring message, because this stuff is really important.
So when's the book out?
In theory, on the 1st of November. That's the scheduled publication day.
Brilliant.
So I've got to write it by the end of May.
Okay.
So I'm halfway through, roughly. So it's a tight schedule. I'm doing my best.
Oh, well, I'm looking forward to reading it. And I'm not suggesting for one minute that it was just going to become the 40,000th first book on leadership. Let's just be clear about that, because you'll never talk to me ever again if I was to suggest that. And I don't think I was. So, Nigel, it sounds really interesting. It's been a longer than normal episode of From Scratch, but it has been leadership. And so we've managed to sort of talk about it in a level-headed way and a really interesting and useful way. So thanks very much.
Always good to talk, Martin. Thank you. From Scratch.